What's going on, family? We got yet another episode. This one, I definitely want you all to go check out the videos, check out the conversation. This is definitely my analysis of it. Never expect people to hold my exact opinions on it, but just try to go with my facts and what have you. With that being said, we're going to pay these bills. I hope y'all enjoying season 6 so far. Let's get it going. Hey, what's going on, family? So I got to get this in because I got to get this in while it's fresh. So this is a hot take. But, folks. So first of all, thanks for supporting the podcast for so long. By the time you guys hear this, this is going to be a few days after I've actually done it. You know, you guys are going to hear this a couple of times. But I hope you guys are enjoying season 6. But the conversation is about a particular thing on YouTube. It's about a series, though. John Stewart is doing a series just about white people addressing other white people in terms of, like, their racism and whether or not, you know, basically his whole premise is black people have been teaching white people enough. And what he's saying is that black folks have been saying the same sorts of things consistently. And the same things have been responded to the black man consistently. I don't want to kill it. I really want the family to go check this out. You don't have to watch the one that I'm going to talk about in particular, but it's a pretty good, it has some pretty good conversations. I believe it elucidates a few things, but the one I'm talking about is dismantling racism is patriotic. And John Stewart talks with Senator Cory Booker, and you know, I kind of feel like I get what John Stewart is doing, and I don't want to necessarily mislead the family by kind of talking about, like, more deeply into what I think this is, because we've actually seen something like this before. Although it's a bit ironic that he's kind of talking about what we've done before, but really, when we're getting into this this particular interview, and it's about an hour long, hour and a half long, Cory Booker, he really bothers me. He bothers me for several reasons. Number one, he's supposed to be one of the first African-American senators or something like that. Or a senator to do something. I don't believe he's the first African-American senator. But when you look at him, you don't know that. And I took my time to really look at this. I even commented in the comment section and all that kind of stuff. But my thing is, he doesn't try to appear to be a black man. There's so many times where he has the opportunity to identify as a black man. He doesn't. He just identifies as a person of color or, you know, something of that. Like, but he's very comfortable with mentioning the other ethnic groups and so on and so forth. Now, when he starts to, before the interview starts, he kind of talks about the Star Wars, how Jersey is places. He talks about Spock being on the wall. And it's like he's trying to already suck up to John Stewart's whiteness, because we're not hip to the game, right? We know what he's really up to. When you do things like that, that's like, you know, when black people, you know, get around white folks and they want to talk about the kind of rock music they listen to. Like, yeah, at a certain point, if you're born in a certain year, you listen to Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana. But that ain't what you gonna bring up when you just start talking to white people unless you're trying to make them feel comfortable. So right off the rip, you see him kind of get these attempts, these really generalized attempts to kind of make John Stewart feel comfortable. Now, as they start having the conversations, and he said he wanted to start with his quote-unquote heart first, and they're kind of having these conversations, but as soon as John Stewart really starts honing in on concepts such as white supremacy, which is real, this is something that's actually taught, you can go to school, you can learn this in ethnic studies and all, like, there's actual studies on this. We know what this is. He's one of those people, Cory Booker, not John Stewart. Cory Booker, at least in the open, he just sort of denies it. And there's so many cases where he tries to relegate, you know, white supremacists or people who feel racist to a very small group of people. And he talks about implicit biases and all these things. Like, it's a bunch of terms, but this is typical when you're dealing with a Democrat. Democrats are all about using these terms to, you know, to describe what is going on. Like, I guess it doesn't exist unless they have a term to describe it. Anywho, he's going through these conversations. And again, I'm not trying to give up too much of what they're talking about. I do think it's a good conversation, but I'll get into that later. But It's really interesting to me when I see somebody kind of go out their way to kind of talk about what we all should be doing. We all should be empathetic. It was almost like he wanted to say all lives matter, but he knew he couldn't. So he was just saying, oh, if we all, like in terms of dealing with poverty, as at the same time where he can admit that there's mechanisms in place. And it took him a bit to acknowledge that these mechanisms are still in place. Like a lot of folks can acknowledge mechanisms being in place before slavery. And he even mentions, he doesn't call them the Black Codes, but he even talks about them literally talking about disenfranchising Black folks. You know, so he literally talks about that. So again, showing that people do know the history and this, that, and the third, but he also understands the implications. When he asks, when John Stewart asks Cory Booker why he didn't do, or why he wasn't able to have this conversation with another politician that he does things with, he just kind of came with a bunch of excuses, you know, kind of different reasons. And he's like, yeah, I don't want it to become about that. And he's always having a problem with how he's saying things, how he's defining things, et cetera, et cetera. Like he has a problem with another white, or not another. And that's the thing. The way that he speaks, he makes you feel like he's supposed to be a white man or a white passing. He's not. He's supposed to be a Black guy. But it makes him, he tries to make John Stewart feel like mentioning white supremacy is somehow wrong. It's somehow wrongly defining or incorrectly defining what's happening. And I kind of wanted to get to that, to kind of get to what I saw in the comment section, because the comment section is where I go to kind of, not to make sense of things, but if I want to know if something is actually impactful, especially when something is polarizing, is this, I go to the comment section because I want to see how people are moved. People really weren't moved by this at all. It was like a bunch of brown nosing, kissy kissy, kumbaya. There's a lot of white people in the comments that actually felt quite comfortable with what he did, because they mentioned things like every time he tries to use these neo-woke talking points, Cory Booker shuts them down. He explains them what they are. It's so like, it's just so many things like that goes over our heads. It is so funny. And because how is that defeating woke talking points when there is such a thing as white supremacy? How is that new work woke terms? And he talks about, he's like, yeah, you know, you got to make the what you call it, the uncomfortable comfortable, and you got to make the comfortable uncomfortable. Or well, there was another word that he used for that, so I'm paraphrasing. But in the same respect, he refuses to make the people, white people, who are already comfortable, to make them uncomfortable by talking about white supremacy, by talking about it in those terms. And John Stewart is very, very good. He's a very good interviewer. Now, I'm not going to jump into this man's mind and try to guess what this man is thinking. But based on how he's interviewing and how he's asking questions, it seemed like every time Senator Cory Booker tried to dodge the question or maybe avoid it or maybe go to a filibuster, because he was filibustering quite a bit. You know, every time he contradicted himself and John would ask him a question, he'd get up there and just get the, well, you know what we have to do, and just start saying words and just kind of going over himself, like over and over again. Really not saying anything, too much of anything. You know, that the problem, like basically he just said a bunch of times, the problems are people and not being open enough, so we all look at this together as an issue. And he also makes the very, very, very terrible comment, in my opinion, that any African-American could make knowing the history of the country, that if America isn't capable of breaking your heart, you haven't loved her enough. And this is something I brought up on my IG while I was watching it, because I was in since then. But, you know, it's very interesting to me that you could say something like that, because we've never been in love with America to begin with. And that's a point that it's just strange. And I don't know why that is. But John Stewart had to bring up the point that it was involuntary. Oh, he probably does that on a different video where he brings up that, you know, Black folks didn't choose to come here. We were stolen. We were kidnapped here. How can you be in love with somebody that kidnapped you. That's called Stockholm Syndrome, okay? That's the type of relationship pimps have with hoes that they kidnap. You know what I mean? They kidnap, they abuse this woman, they exploit her, do all of those different things, and once she starts getting wise enough, once she starts pulling away, they try to pull that little okey-doke trick of, oh, no, I love you, look at what I've done for you, you don't love me, I've made some, all that kind of mind fuck shit. And it's very clear that Cory Booker is on that. Now, in the beginning, he was being quite friendly. Then after that, he was very, very defensive. And the fact that, well, then again, most of the chat, there was a few black people in there that was intimating some of this stuff. And a lot of these black folks, I'm not even going to get on that. But there was a lot of white people watching this conversation, as it should be, because I do feel that it has been enough of black folks teaching white folks. You know, like in the beginning of this whole interview, John Stewart brings up from James D. Baldwin all the way up, like you're really talking about certain figures, certain historical figures that have been speaking out against this that has been consistent. He also talks about race and how, you know, white supremacy has amalgamated or brought in other groups that were close to white or unofficial whites up until the 1950s, which is, that's what it is. You know, to allow these groups to be, to join whiteness. These groups weren't recognized. If you were Jewish, if you were Italian, Irish, so on and so forth, you were not Anglo-Saxon. But as they needed more numbers to fuel their whiteness, a lot of, you know, I've been talking about some of these similar things when I'm talking about United States bringing people over here. You know, it's to bolster their numbers when they start to feel uncomfortable. You see, my issue is that John Stewart brings that up. Cory Booker, who was allegedly, I have no idea. I have no idea. Even the way that he talked about the paper he wrote during Rodney King, like that felt like a moment where he was low-key trying to identify, but he never uses the words African-American, black man. He just says, does he even say person of color at that point? Does he? I'm halfway tempted to go back and look and see if he even said it then. Like, there's no point in any time during this conversation that he actually says. Now, there's a bit of it that's assumed, like when he brings up what his parents have gone through and he's talking about, or, you know, his family, and they're talking about progress and being, all this other kind of stuff. Like, it basically seemed like he just watched an Obama video, like when you're talking about, oh, yeah, America has a race problem, but let's go, it's getting better. You know, when you're talking about incidences such as George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, so on and so forth, it's very clear. Then even more recently, because this particular interview happened a few months ago in March, and more recently, when we're talking about the Buffalo shooting, you very clearly see that there hasn't been any progress. There's been more exploitation. There's been more promises that were never kept. And that's a whole nother conversation for another time. But we can talk about the Nixon, the Reagan administration, a bunch of administrations, even this, the current administration, right? It's very, very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. I don't want to get too lost into that. But, but when I read those comments, I was very, very, number one, I was disappointed because I'm just like, this was probably one of the best shots that white people had to kind of, and I know that's probably saying a lot, but this was the best shot that they had, because there's no longer going to be black folks trying to teach white folks how to be better. Like, if anything, this really showed me why we should be segregated. Like, clearly, John Stewart is bringing up the issues with segregation, and then we get back to all empathy. Like, he never, this dude, Senator Cory Booker, never wants to deal with, not one time, the issues. He doesn't deal with the issues. He just circumvents it and kind of, it's like ad hominem. Like, it's like, okay, he kind of brings up something else. Like, instead of dealing with white supremacy, he would rather talk about why he doesn't like that term and certain people that he feels is put in that group and generalization and et cetera, et cetera. Like, I'm really shocked that people thought that this was a real conversation, even by how Jon Stewart was asking him questions. And some people, I think they kind of caught it because they were kind of annoyed by it. I think they believe that the senator was actually checking Jon Stewart on what he was saying. That's not what was happening at all. But this was, this was very fascinating. This is very, very fascinating, and it just really proved the overall point, looking at the comment section, seeing how Cory Booker is even responding, and we're also dealing with concepts that we're not even dealing with, like what I was getting pretty much shadow banned from IG today for is talking about coons, people who are going to suck up to white ideology and white talking points, white supremacist talking points, because they feel like it's going to propel them in the future. Now, case in point with Senator, once again, it seems like when it came to certain things, he's not willing to say certain things that he feels is going to mess with his political goals. And there's a lot of people that feel like he shouldn't have a problem with that, or there shouldn't be a problem with that at all. I find like there's a huge problem with that because you're a phony. And even though you were voted in by minorities, the fact that you're African-American helped in that. That helps you bridge the gap with minorities because you're not white. And the second thing is, it's even more disingenuous that you even have this conversation about dismantling racism, because he does not do that whatsoever. He does not go about the business of dismantling racism. He doesn't even address it nor challenge it. You don't challenge racism by saying that everyone needs to be more empathetic. And when he talks about bigotry, he's being very, very slick. He's using rhetoric, because you can be a bigot and not be a racist. Racism is based on a power structure. There's nobody out there, no matter if you're a black bigot, Asian bigot, LGBT bigot, even white bigot. If you're a white bigot, that doesn't even automatically associate you with power. You could just be a white bigot talking crap. That's not going to do anything. That's not going to move society. But the fact that you have people that feel like it's black people's own fault for what white folks have done to them and continue to do to them systemically, that's racism. Because there's some power behind those beliefs. The belief that blacks are just lazy, that we're simply not trying hard enough. That there's people out there. Look, I'm not saying that there's people out there that don't struggle, that other groups don't struggle, that other groups aren't afflicted by poverty, but it's disproportionately, that's the key point, disproportionately African Americans, black people. Disproportionately. So that's what we're dealing with. It makes no sense that we can talk about everyone needs to be when there's a specific group at least getting targeted 4 times more than any other group. Even when we look at the amount of hate crimes that happen towards Asians, you guys heard me deal with this, it is about 4 times more. The Asian hate crimes are in the triple digits. Hate crimes against black folks, they're in the 4 digits. I think we take up, or like we made about 55 or about 60% of the crimes that were hate crimes. We only make up 13% of the population of this country. That's a problem. And when people dance around problems and issues like that, like a Kamala would, these are people that can't be trusted. So when I go to that comment section, I'm just like, yeah, this video was a complete waste of time. Like, people thought the other video where the two white folks, see, that's the issue. People think that there's no progress in a discussion or debate if people are in disagreement and it's heated or it's passionate. No, that's actually good. Now, because then you're going to get honest answers, honest exchanges of information. This conversation here was not a good, this was trash. This was trash because nothing got addressed. A lot of issues got swept under the rug. Very subtly, a rhetoric along the lines of all lives matter was prevalent. And Senator Booker didn't, He just assuaged the consciousness of so many white folks. He took the pressure and the responsibility and the accountability off of them, off of this society, and how it is that they can contribute. And that's a very dangerous thing. See, people who can identify, and I say can because we see how this African-American thing can go, but people who can identify who are African-American, who use these talking points, are very, very, very dangerous people. They're very, very dangerous people because these are the people that will attempt to speak for us. Now, he will not. In the same way, if you want a good example of this, take what he's saying out and just listen to how he avoids identifying as being black. You will see it's on the same level as Jesse Lee Peterson. It's on the same level. This is ridiculous. I would have preferred if Jon Stewart was able to get a conversation with Dr. Claude Anderson. He used one of his clips in one of the episodes. To kind of prove his point about how black folks have been very, very consistent about the same point. And we have been consistent over 150 years of being consistent with these points. So I want the family to still check it out because there is something to be taken. I like, just because I say this is a waste of time because of the intent of this video or what the intent of this video was supposed to be. It was a waste of time. That's not going to be accomplished. White people just want to feel more comfortable. They don't want to deal with their issues. They want something that's going to tell them that what they're hearing is something about it is false. Something about it is rhetoric. They don't want to accept the white supremacy as rhetoric. They would rather accept all the counterpoints to white supremacy as rhetoric. So that tells you a lot about what it is. And once again, you cannot relegate racism to a feeling, as what Senator Cory Booker is trying to do. You see what I'm saying? Like, you have to identify your own problems. Like the woman in another video, and I will, hold on a second, family. I will find that the other video really, really quickly, because I kind of want you guys to check that one out as well, right? So I think it's called Taking Responsibility for Racism. But just look up the show on YouTube. Or just look up the channel, The Problem with Jon Stewart. Or The Problem with White... Oh, yeah, there we go. The Problem with White People. That's what it's called. The Problem with White People. This, the Taking Responsibility is the other one. The Problem with White People. Go check that out. There's a woman in there who even calls herself a racist. She kind of hesitates for a bit, but she says it. Why? Because she understands what racism is, and she realizes that even though she had to catch herself, she's not saying that she's a bad person. She's just talking about her role and how it contributes to this system of racism. You know, it's very silly. Like, I can be prejudiced. I know I have prejudice. Like, prejudices and biases have nothing to do with isms. Isms are systems in place. Class isms. Beliefs and stuff that are centered around people with money and people who do not have it. Right? So people who have money, who unknowingly contribute to classism, they're classists. You know what I mean? Like, even if you don't go around beating women or trying to slip things in their drinks, or, you know, or if you're not actively trying to do some of these things, but you maintain some of those beliefs, or when these things are presented to you, you don't fight against it, you're a misogynist. Maybe that's not a great thing, because it's not good, because misogynism isn't really a thing. It'd be a sexism, really. So really what I'm trying to say is, if you're sexist, you know, you can have misogyny. Yeah, and that's really essentially what I'm saying, because you can have all those things. You can do this, you can do that, but that wouldn't necessarily make you a sexist. You know, it's the fact that you would act on those things. Like, there's sexist within our community. It's like, well, I should say sexist within my family. Because as much as I got black folks in my family that could love to talk, black males in my family, that love to talk about, you know, how great the black woman is and how the black woman need to be this and that and how they value the black woman. They still don't want to see black people, black women as their boss. They still don't want to see black women in positions of power. When they see black women as referees, they have such a fucking tizzy fit. You know what I mean? So that's contributing to that sort of sexist sort of system. It doesn't mean that you hate women. But you can hate women and not, you know, respect women and not do anything at the same time to hinder women in terms of society. Like, you may hate women, but you may not, you know, turn down, you may not, you know, avoid promoting a woman because, shit, the woman might make you some money. You might hate her fucking guts, but shit, you know, she's making you the money. So you could be a misogynist, but you're not contributing to the sexism by denying the job. I'm sorry for using that really, really bad example, but I almost got myself caught up there. But that's the thing. I want you guys to go check it out. But you see, that's sort of the thing. You know, when we have white people who can admit that they're racist, we don't need black people coming in to say, no, 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 massa, you ain't got to say that. No, 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 don't let them do that to you. You's better than that. Don't let them make you think you right. No, damn, is lazy. We all do some wrong sometime. You gotta watch out for folks like that. And family, if you go watch this video, you'll see that's exactly what Senator Cory Booker is. He's one of those, oh no, what we need to do, everybody needs to do their own part so that what society can be a better place. And can't we just love America? And, you know, America can break your heart, but you got to love America. We have a what relationship is that? Abuse? Stealing from me? Raping me? That's the relationship. And you continue to do it. You have mechanisms set into place. But see, that's it. That's deeper. That's way deeper than I expected this conversation to go. And this does feel like some neo-abolitionist shit, too. Like, I don't know. I want to research this a bit more. I'm telling you, that's what it feels like, though, because I'm really not seeing the point. And when I look at the comments, I'm just seeing, like, white people finding reasons to be comforted. Like, the conversation, if you look at it, you could easily kind of see what's kind of happening based on where your mind is, how open your mind is, or how researched you are, right? But there's just still going to be people, and it seems like the majority of people, that are always going to be looking for this quote-unquote middle ground where everyone can be happy, but there's no accountability. See, that's my issue right there. My issue is when white folks feel so comfortable that they don't feel like they need to take accountability for the system that we're in. And that in the same breath, want to talk about how we can come together as a motherfucking country. Like, you know, how ridiculous is that? How ridiculous is that? You want us to come together, but you don't want to take accountability for the fucked up shit that you do, that you contribute to, that you watch. You see what I'm saying? If a man or anyone, because I think anybody, if anyone knows a woman is getting harassed, abused, raped, sit by and watch, you are a part of that. You're an accomplice. If you giggled while some shit like that was happening, that's silent agreement. But in the same breath, and I always like using these examples because it's so easy for America to talk about how they had laws that oppressed women and how things were unfair for women. But you switch that. And I'm not saying that it's perfect. It's far from perfect. But we're much, 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 much further with that than we are in terms of the conversation with black people. They've even found a way to twist the ain't I a woman into a feminist argument. And even though this is the ain't I a woman, Show Junior Truth was talking about how she's a woman, but they work her sometimes even harder than they would work the black man. There's even an essay that came up in terms of what you call it? What's her name? Bradford. What's her name? Sarah Bradford, who did a biography, autobiography, I believe, but did a biography on Harriet Tubman, has an essay towards the end of it where they very clearly talk about, you know, and I think it was also during that time because they're also kind of starting to talk about this feminism thing, but they very easily talked about how there were certain slave masters that felt like black women's tears were sweeter than anyone else's, that there was a special, you know, that torturing a black woman held a special place for these white supremacists. But in the same breath, because I really don't want to take this into a whole nother topic, which I am. We're already almost 30 minutes in. Let's stay on point. That'll be another one. If you guys want me to talk about that, go on to my Instagram, or not my Instagram, because I told you I'm shutting that down. Like, I do post on there a bit, but I'm more on Twitter. Just go find me on Twitter. If you want to talk to me, you have a question, ask me on Twitter. That'd be the best way to kind of get in contact with me. Or you can email nesetnetertech@gmail.com, and you can email me there. I get all those as well. And you can ask me if you want me to really cover that aspect of it. But overall, yeah, like, just kind of getting back into the thing. This is just bullshit. You know, people want us to be accepting. They want us to all work together, but you won't work with you won't work with black people. You won't even take the time, because it doesn't affect them. They won't even take the time to research and even see if there's any truth to what they're talking about. Like, the one thing that does catch my attention about Jon Stewart is some of the names that he brings up. And he does talk about the consistency that we've been making these claims. Now, I can go back and maybe I'll be able to find another white man at a certain point, maybe 30, 40 years ago, who's doing the same thing. I do not have that reference. And it's not me to lie and say that I do have that reference when I don't. So family, if you do know that reference, you better send it to me. You know, I'm not with that kind of shit. I know. Don't agree with me just for the sake of it. We about building in here. And I don't mind ideas being challenged over here. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to offend me. But, yeah, I just think that's really, really, it's very, very silly, you know, and people won't even acknowledge, like, when have you had supermarkets filled with white people that were targeted and people were shooting at them for the sake of them being white? When do you have, like, neighborhoods pillaged, looted? And when I say pillaged, looted, because it's like, you going in there jamming people up. And you're taking the money out. Like, they, in the same way, they didn't even can acknowledge that they're like, someone going to jail, even whether or not, and that's another interesting thing too. When they talk about the incarceration rates or how we're being arrested, we do take up about 50%. Now, just because you're arrested does not mean that you're convicted, but we are arrested at a much higher rate than everyone else. But they know that an arrest in a lower economic situation, especially for black people, is far more damaging than arresting somebody who has money. Cory Booker makes that point, that if he gets busted with some weed, he'll be fine. He can afford a lawyer. He can do this. He can do that. The average black person, though, cannot do that. Now, he doesn't say the average black. He's like, just, you know, black people in those communities can't do that. I'm just very intrigued by people who are allegedly African-American, yet they have a hard time bringing that up in situations that involves them. But in the same breath, he can identify that, but and other people, he's not the only one that can recognize that. And yet we see that happen. That's so crazy. And we know that in a lot of situations, black folks will end up getting the jail time, even for situations that white people will not. They will not see jail time. You know? That's very dubious. Okay? That's very dubious. That's very, very dubious. So, like I said, going into those comments to see how people reacted to that. And just to give you an example, over 600,000 people have seen this since this came out. When I tell you the overwhelming majority of people on that were just feeling really good about that conversation, and a lot of people are intimating what I was intimating to you as far as how they felt about Senator Cory Booker. Yeah. Black folks, like I've been telling you, we are on our own. We have no help. And when you're trying to go to these people, particularly your enemy, for help, I just don't see it. And Jon Stewart could be really, really sincere in what he's trying to do. The whole nine, but it doesn't matter. One person ain't enough. it's never been enough. And when you see the totality of people even take that conversation, and what's even more disappointing, I even saw some black people kind of take similar approaches or just wanted to speak their heart. But I saw that in a couple of these things I've been watching. Like one dude, essentially, what did he say as a black man? He said essentially the same thing. And then this idiot made a comparison that he wished that the United States would adopt what South Africa adopted after apartheid in terms of how they are dealing with race. I'm just like, well, what the fuck did you do? Watch Invictus too fucking much? Did you forget who directed that movie? Mr. Clint Eastwood? Come on, man. When people like that, it's hard not to feel like a laughing stock. And I talk about this all the time, that one person does not reflect, or even a small group of people, you know, because we often talk about the individual, but even a small 1, 2, 3 people that you see do not reflect the entirety. They don't represent the entirety. I'm not saying they don't affect the entirety. They don't represent the entirety in terms of what it is that they say. But I can admit that I do, like, it's moments like that. It's comments like that. I don't feel like I get that way about other things. Not at all. Like, when black folks are twerking, like, I'm just like, what the fuck ever. When they're just like, oh, did you hear about that black dude that did that fucked up shit? Like, and, like, that doesn't bother me. I'm never incensed by that. I'm never bothered by that. Offended. It's more like when I hear shit like that, when I hear or see blacks being really, really ignorant or making statements that are so, and maybe this is an ego thing. I just personally feel like white people shouldn't know more about our issues or be more well-versed in what's going on with us than we do. And I feel like that's also part of the problem. Like, you could learn about racism, white supremacy as a white person, but what the fuck are you gonna do when you run into black folks that just don't know what the fuck it is that they're talking about, even regarding that? Like, would you even feel like those are people that could be helped? Outside looking in, you know? And I know that's probably something that white people feel, because I know we fucking feel that shit. And we're black. We have felt like, come on now. And if you've been trying to do what I've been doing, you felt this more than once. In fact, your ability to move past that emotion right there is one of the things that makes us successful. If you can do that, you can be a success. If you can do that, you can do what it is that I do. You can study the way that I do. You can do all the shit. It'll become a breeze after that. If you can deal with that. Because there's a lot of times I deal with black folks, and even black folks who are somewhat supposed to be red. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And it's really hard to try to stay within that 96%. Like, some people, shit, if you like to really not get at them, you got to agree with like 87. You talk about 96. A lot of y'all motherfuckers out there, I agree with 87, maybe 80% of what you said. And when it gets to that 80%, yeah, that's when we start having our problems, you know. But I love my people. I've never given up on my people. You know, I've tried to give my all to my people, and I continue to try to give my all and to come up with ways to be effective, to make us better. So when I do get a little bit emotional, it's just because I'm putting all I got into it. And trying to dig and find a lot more, because I know a lot more is necessary. So even if I gotta find some people or go borrow some, look, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm about, right? So yeah, I don't like. I'm really yeah. Just back to that whole thing. When it comes to like situations like that, we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do. We have to dig deep. We have to look inside. I know I've been saying this for a while, but family, go check out this video like I've been talking about, and you'll see exactly why I say we have no friends. As nice as this video may sound, just look at that shit. It's just like, it's not working. And the other reason why I say, like, is this some neo-abolitionist shit? Because it's like, there's a lot of abolitionists who became famous. So I don't know. I don't, you know, it's a topic that, you know, white people can make some dollars on. Like, look, shit, over 600,000 people watched the video, so it did well. You know, it airs on Apple TV. His show, his program does air, like, he has full episodes on Apple TV, so he's getting paid to do this. And I know there's a lot of people that's going to say, well, if you know he's getting paid to do this, then you know there's only about a certain things that he could say. And there's probably just equally, just based on the fact that, you know, Senator Cory Booker is a politician and he has to keep things. So what's the point? Why even do it? If you, like, there's a saying to be said, if, you know, if you're not doing it right, then you're just not doing it. Okay? And if he has to worry about all that, why even become a senator? If it's about the money, then to be about the money, never get on a program like this again. Keep your money grubbing ass exactly where you at. That's another problem about us as a society, about us as a people. You know what I'm saying? And particularly in this Western society, is that we can allow, like, we will allow people to be scandalous. We will allow people to be duplicitous as long as they appear righteous. We will damn near accept anything as long as somebody appears seemingly, ostensible or not, to be doing the right thing. So, yeah, I don't know, family. I'm just really, like I said, this is a hot take, so maybe I'll come up with some more ideas. Maybe this will lead into a part two where I talk about this more. Just first impressions of checking this out. I like the idea of it. I could see how they drawn a certain amount of eyes based on, like, what they were saying. And even the title, Dismantling Racism is Patriotic. Like, okay. But again, when do they dismantle the racism? You know, we're just really, it's really a conversation, you know, dancing around the issues of race, the issues of people being racist and white supremacy. And it's just so crazy to me that they just don't, like, they don't believe in it, or the capacity that they can believe in is like, oh, yeah, there was white supremacy, but that's an old thing, you know, and there's just some vestiges of it now that we just have to deal with. Really? So interesting. So interesting. You know, all these things founded upon whiteness. It's like, geez, like the 60s and the 70s were so long ago. The 80s even, so long ago. Rodney King. So long ago. Like, can somebody tell me the point? You know, like, what, at what point, what was the period, what was the event, what was the year even, where white people said, oh, you know what, we're gonna stop now, we gotta stop doing this here racist white supremacist thing, you know, it's not right. No, I don't like it, and yeah, I know our grandparents used to dig it, and you know what, I don't dig it. You know, and I went home and I told my wife, you know what, honey, you know about this racism? I'm not digging it. You know? Yeah, I don't dig this, honey. Not at all. We're gonna end this, and we're gonna start trying to make things right. We know we're gonna deal with some vestiges, but you know, we're gonna make sure that this never happens again. Brown versus Board didn't lead to desegregation. It's so funny that topic has come up so much. I bring up Brown versus Board. I bring up this so-called desegregation, yet we're still just as segregated as we've always been. They talk about that here. Like America is a huge, like, is very much a largely segregated society. It's very, really, it's also disturbing to me, because I got to bring this up, because you guys are going to hear this on there. Just when people describe a democracy, or at least American democracy and capitalism, and I've seen this in a couple of different videos, because I've even saw this in terms of videos where people were critiquing you know, how China was handling its business and stuff like that, and how certain billionaires were disappearing for questioning certain things and doing certain things, and how that's such a Chinese thing. But then when we start talking about Pedophile Island and all this other kind of stuff, people start disappearing and fucking judges start showing up in the fucking water and all kind of shit starts happening, but we're nothing like China. Yeah, but it does. It definitely disturbs me when people talk about this democracy in a certain light. Like, this is the epitome of what this democracy or what, yeah, just doing the right thing is supposed to look like. That's really, really interesting to me. And I, because I see all evidence to the contrary, and that's not to say that America is the worst family. I don't know if you've heard it yet because of how I'm doing this season, but if you've gotten to the episode about Brittany Griner, you've heard me talk about, like, shit, there are some places, there are some prison systems that are worse. And just because the United States is shit, that does not mean that other places are not worse. And there are some benefits to being here. The thing that I would always like to remind folks, and I get in debates with this with, like, my friends and other people that I know, my associates, colleagues, you know, about benefiting from this country, but we put the benefits here. A lot of people feel like if we weren't put through the situation of slavery, we wouldn't have prospered, or we wouldn't have benefited, or we wouldn't have had these benefits. And it's just like, there's so much evidence to the contrary of that. You know, when you look at what black people were doing in Russia as slaves, and I'm talking about Gannibal very specifically in that regard, but we were doing things in France, we were doing things in Europe. Part of the reason why you have a Haitian revolution is that you have blacks that were able to gain high positions within the French army. Okay, because we were able to accomplish stuff. We were always going to be successful. That's what we don't understand. It's like, we're usually, you know, right next to success. You know, can bad shit happen to us? Yeah. Have we been through a really terrible predicament? Absolutely. But we achieved quite a bit, and we shouldn't have accomplished this much based on what was given. So, but I have kind of like resigned myself to this fact, this simple fact, that until we kind of delve into the histories ourselves, until we learn as much as we need to, until people like John Stewart won't know about more about our fight and our liberation than the average black person, we're going to be stuck in this perpetual slavery. It's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. You know, knowledge has always been the catalyst for revolution. Knowing how to do it, knowing what to do, when to do it, understanding what you're going up against and how to overthrow it. That's information, that's education. Knowing how to, like, to feed yourself, knowing how to cure yourself, knowing how to do a lot of things, like, that's knowledge. That all came before we got to this point. And we just continued to build on that. When we started to get into the Harlem Renaissance started really in the 1800s. As more and more black people were starting to dig up their past. That was the motivation. I believe it was Arturo Schoenberg, who was the one of the mentors, and one of the people I believe who inspired John Henry Clark, someone who's inspired me. And his article was called "The Negro Digs Up His Past." You see, I believe that was 1890, maybe it was 1900, but I knew it's pretty. That essay was written way, way, way before the Harlem Renaissance. But it's always to show that, and also John Henry Clark was also really good with that. You have to talk about, before you can talk about the something, you have to talk about the antecedents. And we as black people really don't know the antecedents to this revolution that we're in. The antecedents to the Black Power movement. The antecedents to Yeah, basically the Black Power movement, because you saw that that lasted a few decades, despite how history chooses to remember. Because like I said in the other episode that you may or may not have listened to, is that was the civil rights, Martin Luther King, that was the sideline. Okay, like, just get that right. That was the sideline, and Black Power was around in the '40s and possibly even earlier, but. That's where I go with it, is the 1940s. You start to really see people push. And around the time that Emmett Till, see, one of the reasons why Emmett Till was such a polarizing thing for Black people is because we were already starting to get together and talk about, like, how we're not going to be taking this shit. We were already sick and tired of being sick and tired. So when Emmett Till happened, it's just like, oh, no. Like, that's why you see the European, he's been very, very different. Like, if you look at the modern era, the way that he goes about killing us, he makes sure that it looks like it could be an accident. Or he makes sure that the law enforcement does it so we can turn this into a black and blue issue and not a societal, not an American issue. You see, very, very good at that because he's learned from his mistakes. But he also has a reference. We don't have a reference. And when you don't know the antecedents, you don't have a reference. When you don't know the history, you don't have a reference. So a lot of it, once again, has to do with getting to the history. You'll notice that most of the people in our community who's made a difference has gotten a hold of the history. So there has to be something there. There has to be something there that's worth getting into if the people that's facilitating all this change or all this thought within the community has done it with the history. But we have not delved into the history. And the thing is that when you delve into the history, you are going, like, your mind is going to change. If you're studying, if you're really getting into it, your mind is going to change how you see things, your worldview changes. You'll start to realize the kind of lens that you see the world through. Like, once again, when people say, hey, you know, it's probably a good thing. And I've heard this from a lot of people in a lot of different ways, not even the same way, but in a lot of different ways, you know, that we had to be thankful about this country and just sort of some of the methodologies about this country. Like, I don't think even people really realize that when it comes to certain topics, like, I know you don't know enough. Or have a good, like, I'm if I like you, if I respect you, I might try to, in a nice way, kind of get you to see my side. But for the most part, like, I give up really trying to convince niggas of shit. Really. Because a lot of it has to deal with, like, what do you know about this? What do you know about that? What have you read about this? What have you researched about that? And how deeply are you going into it? And can you even critical think about it? But not even, before you even get to the critical thinking, you got to be able to do all the other shit first. And people can't, like, because we have a very binary way of looking at pros and cons. It's very dichotomous. And we have a hard time getting out of this idea that, okay, there's an animal in the box, so the box, you know, so the animal must be a cat. Right? Or it must be a mouse. It's a tiny box. Well, it must be a mouse. Like, what kind of animal could be in a tiny box but a mouse? You know, but when you open up the box, it's a gerbil. It's a hamster. Some people say, oh, that's close enough. But it's not a mouse. Shit, maybe I should use a better example. Maybe I shouldn't use a rodent. Maybe I'll use, it could be a centipede. It could be a bird. Like, what the fuck, though, makes you know that it just must be a fucking rat or mouse, whatever the fuck? What makes you know that? What makes you so sure? Have you opened the box to see? And that's really what we're getting into. We got to open up the box to peer inside to see what's really in there. You know what I'm saying? You may even start to find that once you open that lid, that this wasn't really a box at all. It could have just been an opening, like a, could have been something completely different. That's my point. With that being said, this was supposed to be a hot take. I damn near talked for almost an hour. Please go check out that video, because it's... At this point, this is more about information for the people, and also the people who are serious about, like, collecting information about comparative research and all that kind of stuff. Like, go check it out. Do your own research. You know, always come up with your own ideas. If you don't agree with me, I would definitely like to know. I feel like only, you know, fake people or people who don't have the confidence to message me with a real profile or their own profile kind of questions on some of the things I said. But if that's not you, if that doesn't describe you, hey, hit me up on Twitter, Nisotechnico. You know what it is. Or you can hit me on my email, nisotnettertech.tv@gmail.com. Probably a change to Nisotechnico in a somewhat near future, but that's how you can get at me right now. So with that being said, peace, love, and light. Thank you for supporting for so long. Watch out for these collaborators, and that's about it.